Welcome to Decide to Transform. You made it to level 2, deeper questions leading to deeper answers. I'm Tomas Garza, and I'm here to help you decide to transform. I'll be setting the pace for the process to support your unfolding. Learn and commit to a practice that brings simplicity and awareness of what is ready to be released. Join me now and allow the experience of a deeper sense of love. Welcome. Welcome back to Decide to Transform. I'm so glad you're with me today here on Om Times Radio. I'm your host, Tomas Garza, and we've got a wonderful program in store for you today. The title of the show is Creating Some Space, Techniques for De-Stressing. I love that. Techniques for de-stressing. And I'll explain what some of those are, and we'll share some of those on the show today. Also, you'll want to stick around for the whole hour because we have a couple of wonderful listener questions and very, very powerful practical experiences that other people are having. And my guess is that you will relate to it if you're listening here. And you'll relate to it if you catch the replay or you're listening to this down the road, tomorrow, next week, whenever it is, wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a lot of practical information today that I want to share with you that will help you de-stress, for starters, de-stress, and also to demystify is the word that I'm looking for here, is to take the kind of the otherworldliness and the mystique out of some of these very practical things that people can do right now. People tend to think that self-care and meditation and very beneficial techniques and practices for de-stressing yourself and gaining control over your own mind and therefore your own life, they're completely linked together. People tend to think that those techniques are for somebody else. They're for monks, or they're for somebody with 35 years of meditation experience, for example. And the answer is no, they're not. They're for every single person in the world. And we'll go through some of those today. So if you were listening last week, this is a continuation from the show that we had with my good friend Lisa Berry last week. Lisa was talking about various forms of mind chatter, and the title of that show was Self-Talk Transformation. Lisa, I'm happy to announce, will be back in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, on the 28th of January. Same time, same place. We'll continue our discussion of self-talk transformation. And I know that that show was deeply impactful for many of you. So I thank you for tuning in. Lisa will be back. We're continuing that theme today with these techniques for de-stressing. And just to recap, if you have not heard last week's show yet, one of the main things that you can pull out of that, that I've pulled out of that, is the fact that you get to decide to take control of your own thoughts. You get to decide whether you select a thought or not. This is something that Lisa shared with us. You get to decide whether you take a thought and you hold space for it in your own mind and you run with it. You don't have to. You don't have to, because often we feel like the whole world is running our mind. It's running us, so to speak. And if a thought makes you feel icky, right? If it makes you feel bad or anxious or stressed out, or it just doesn't serve you and you can feel that, then you can choose right there in the moment to let go of it. You get to decide if you select a thought or not, and if it makes you feel icky, if it makes you feel a pit in your stomach or anxious, then don't select it. Move on. And then we'll talk about some techniques. We talked about some on the show last week, and we'll continue to talk about that today. And these are techniques for lessening the stress in our life and for calming our minds. Because if you are able to have a calm mind, and you may be thinking, well, it's not calm at all. How can it possibly be calm? Well, how about calmer, if that works for you? A calmer mind will mean a calmer life. And I will talk more in greater detail today about what exactly I mean by that. Because our usual state of being is distracted. It's distracted, it's diffuse. We have so many things coming at us all of the time. Our social media feed can bombard us if we give in to it. Frankly, most people that you'll see anywhere in the world are looking at their cell phones. And they have Wi-Fi or they have data on their phones and they are scrolling. They're scrolling Facebook, they're scrolling their Twitter feed, they're going through their email, WhatsApp. There are all kinds of sounds around us. Cindy, my wife, and I are here in Mexico, and there are always loudspeakers going around. People sell things, and we can hear them from our house, from the living room where I sit right now, live on the air. We sometimes hear, and maybe you will hear during the hour, trucks go by with a loudspeaker, and people are selling all kinds of things, and there is advertising all around. It doesn't have to come out of a megaphone with somebody shouting. It can come in the form of your television set, on the radio, wherever it is. There's a lot of information out there, and our typical state and of being is distracted. Why? Because we get carried away in that. It just is what it is. And that is actually neither good nor bad. So people tend to place unnecessary judgments on themselves. I've done it. I still catch myself doing it. We all do. And it's okay. If you get distracted, it's okay. It just means that you're breathing, quite honestly. It means you're human. You're having a typical human experience, and well, you're not alone, and there are things that you can do. So of all of these distractions, it generates thoughts in our mind, and our minds are constantly running, they're constantly going. We're almost always thinking about something or someone, some situation, some place, whatever it is, there are thoughts going constantly, and we're often not aware of them. And if we were aware of every single one, we might find ourselves, frankly, exhausted because there are so many, millions and millions and millions a day. Gotta be. It's near constant. It's near constant. And a lot of these thoughts that we don't think about are not serving to us. They're unserving. And what I mean by that is they perpetuate certain belief systems, they perpetuate certain ideas that we have had since we were very small, that are instilled in us by our parents, by society, by our peers, by our friends, by our family members, school teachers, by billboards, by television advertisements, now by internet marketing, everything. We have a lot of thoughts, and some of them are not serving to us. Many of them are unserving, and they can perpetuate stereotypes that you can or can't do something. Right? How many of us have told ourselves that we can't do something? And we just repeat that. It's on repeat if you stop to think about, well, why am I saying that I can't do this? Why am I saying that I can't make money at this venture? Why am I saying that I can't lose weight? If you stop and pause and create some space for yourself, you can examine the situation and then make a different decision. Some of our thoughts serve us. You may go through the day thinking how awesome you are and be consciously aware of that, thinking that you are wealthy and abundant and you are very fit, strong, charismatic, good-looking, right? Whatever it is for you, we often have a mix of thoughts that are serving and thoughts that are not. However, often, especially if we're not aware of it, So many of our thoughts do not serve us. They do not better us. They do not lead us to a place of positive growth and change and transformation. So that's the background. Let's launch into what we can do right now, today, to help ourselves move beyond all of these thoughts and all of these limiting beliefs. So let's talk about some techniques that are out there for the taking, by the way, I have to say. They're out there for the taking. They're techniques for de-stressing that you can choose to apply right now. And what I want to do here is I want to break this down into an external and internal environment component. Now, I will let you know I'm doing this specifically for teaching purposes, for illustration purposes. Really, the external and internal are completely blended. They're together, whole and one. However, for the sake of explanation, I'm going to break that down into an external environment and an internal environment, and we'll start with the external environment first. So techniques for de-stressing yourself, calming your mind, calming mind chatter, clearing mental clutter, and frankly, for feeling better about yourself. This is something that Lisa mentioned on the show last week, and that she mentions all the time in her show, Light on Living, that is giving yourself reasons to feel better. And it's really important. That's very, very important. So what can you do to influence the environment around you and manage it to the degree that it's possible? All right, everybody's circumstance is completely different. Some of you may only be able to manage so much of it because, of course, we can't control other people. We'd love other people to be quiet sometimes. We'd wish them to just please shut up. Sometimes we want people to stop talking. We want them to say something nice, or we'd like them to walk away. We'd like to walk away, right? There is a lot that comes at us from our external environment. So one of the things that I often recommend and that we talked about last week on the show with Lisa is some privacy, some actual physical space that you can create for yourself to de-stress. Sometimes you have to just get away from a situation. For 13 years, I worked as a family mediator, and by that I mean high-level, court-ordered, high-intensity, and frankly, high-stakes child custody and parenting time mediation. My clients were divorcing parents or parents that were not married but nonetheless had children and had to come up with the arrangements for custody of the kids and the parenting time arrangement for the kids. And, well, it's people during a really stressful time in their lives. If you have ever been divorced with children, you will know that it is very stressful, it's hard, and people are not often at their best. So often I found myself saying to people that they could walk away, giving them permission to walk away. Now, if you're in a stressful situation, that is one thing that you could do. It's always, always more skillful. It's not always more fun, but it's always more skillful to walk away if you can, especially if you risk an argument with somebody, if you risk damaging the relationship. It's always better to walk away than to throw an F-bomb-laced tirade. And that's at least what I say. Now, it's tempting to lash out, and often we do that, but one way that you can manage your external environment to de-stress is just give yourself some space. Lisa talked about going and into the bathroom, right? And I have done that, actually. I have gone and just taken a minute or two to just be someplace else where I can take a couple of deep breaths and de-stress. Can you go for a walk? Can you get away from a crowd of people if you don't want to be with them if you don't lack the energy, if you want to be alone. Create some space just for yourself. It's really important. You could go to the gym. You could go for a walk. Sometimes people take a drive. Whatever it is, creating physical space is something that you can do to help de-stress yourself. Also important, block some time out for yourself. If you are heavily influenced by a calendar for work, whether you work for someone else or whether you own your own business, whatever the situation is, if you use a calendar to help manage your life, it's very easy to book ourselves silly. It's very easy to put so many things on the calendar that we have absolutely no time at all for ourselves. And what I recommend highly, highly, highly recommend this, is that you block some time off for yourself. We'll talk about the importance of routine later on the show today, but blocking time off for yourself, whether it's a morning ritual such as reading or journaling, maybe it's a devotional or prayer or meditation, whatever that is for you, if you have a ritual in the morning, at nighttime, block the time off for that. Block the time off to go for a walk. Block the time off for exercise. Make sure that you do that. These are ways that you can manage your external environment. Now let's go where it's really important. We'll do this after the break. We'll talk about your internal environment and things you can do to de-stress. Stick around.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, author of Decide and host of Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio. I want to ask you, if you want something in life, have you decided on it? If not, you'll listen to a limiting story about yourself. You will say you can't, you're too old, too young, etc. Decide to transform in life. Learn what you can choose to believe instead of your limiting stories. Decide. Available now in paperback and ebook.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. So I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back to Decide to Transform. I'm Tomas Garza, and we have some excellent techniques and information for you in this segment of the broadcast today. We're talking about ways that you can open up some space for yourself and de-stress, because everybody has stress in life. You have it. I have it. We sometimes get completely carried away. And there are things that we can do to make sure that we do not, or when we notice that we are, we can bring ourselves back to a healthier, more serving state of mind. And that's really what it's all about. So we're talking about our internal environment here. And this is where the action is, guys. This is where it is. Before the break, we talked about things that you can do to manage, if you can't control, manage your external environment, such as planning activities, blocking time, and going away from a stressful situation, physically removing yourself, whether it's going into another room or leaving the house, going for a drive, etc. So the internal environment is all about awareness, and we hear the term mindfulness all of the time, yet so many of us don't really have a solid grip on what is meant by that. So, well, I'm not going to give a strict dictionary definition of it. I'll give an experiential definition of mindfulness from my own life. And that is about being aware. It's about awareness, and it is being on top of things. In other words, aware of your mind chatter, of your thoughts, of being able to observe them from a different place. In other words, not carried away in them. If you're carried away in them, then they've got control of your mind and you just run with them. And sometimes you can run with them for years and years and years and years and decades and figure that this is life, this is my lot, this is the way it goes, and there's no other way than this. Well, in fact, there is. In fact, there is. It's paying attention to these thoughts, paying attention to your mind chatter, to all of the messages that you send to yourself. And if you're not aware of them, you cannot direct yourself to something else. In other words, if you're not aware the problem exists, how are you ever going to solve it? And for all of you martyrs out there, if you're listening, how are you ever going to be able to expect yourself to solve it? Now, if you don't know it exists, you can't expect yourself to radically change it and to become a different person overnight, so you have to become aware of it. So what are my recommendations? Well, I'll share some practical tips for you right now. Number one is the practice of meditation. Now, if you know me, you knew I was going to say this, you knew I was going to get to this, because we frequently have guided meditations here on the show, and you may or may not know that I have a meditation practice myself that I've had since the mid-1980s, roughly since 1985. I don't remember exactly when, but it was definitely in the mid-80s. And my recommendation, this is my top recommendation for people, is that you try a meditation practice, and we'll come to a very, very frequently asked question from listeners in a couple of minutes, but there's a reason why this is a thing, and I'll tell you what, for me, one of the main benefits has been. It's one of the benefits is, yes, that it calms me down, right? It calms everyone down if you practice it, and it's nice to go through life chill. I mean, it really is. It's nice. It's a nice place to be. I'm not always chill, because sometimes I get carried away and frustrated and angry, and sometimes I am tempted to lash out, and sometimes I do, right? Everybody has moments, right? Moments where you're not aware and in control, but with a meditation practice, those moments become fewer and fewer and far between, and you'll find, if you do it long enough, that they actually lose their intensity. In other words, they loosen their grip on you and your mind. Now, what the other benefit for me has been is that meditation gives me space. It doesn't sound sexy, but it's very important, and I'll explain what that means. Meditation gives space to people to make better choices, to make better decisions. Because what happens when you begin to calm your mind is that there is a gap between a knee-jerk reaction, like say somebody always annoys you, they aggravate you, and you have an instant revulsion to them. And however you typically manifest that, let's say with a practice of meditation, you are able to calm your mind a little bit, and when this person comes along, you open up space to make a different decision. If you habitually lash out at them, if you typically tell them off, for example, or shoot them the middle finger, for example, with a practice of meditation, you may be able to open up some space for yourself to make a different decision, to even think about this person differently, and to avoid your habitual reaction, which is lashing out or obscenely gesturing or something along those lines. But you open up space to make better decisions, and this applies to every single aspect of your life. Now, people often tell me, and I've heard this as a meditation instructor, I see it online, on discussion forums, all kinds of things. People often say, well, I don't have time. Right? I don't have time. I don't have the space to meditate. Okay, this is a very common question, and let's address this right now. This is the first of our listener questions from today. Now, this is not from a specific person, because I've heard this from many, many people over the years. It's a general question, and it's a really good one. And people say, okay, well, I'm concerned, because people have approached me about a meditation practice, whether it was in a classroom setting or on their own, or they've asked me, do I recommend an app, things of that nature, because all of that information is most certainly out there. People say, well, I'm concerned that I just don't have the time and the space for meditation. I don't have the time. I don't have the space. Okay. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I'm here to officially, on the record, rubbish that claim henceforth and forever. You always have the time and you always have the space for meditation. Why? Because you have space and time for your next breath. That is why I can say this with 100% certainty. Yes, you do have time. You have space. Because a successful meditation can be as short as one in and out breath. So why don't we try it right now? You don't have to run off to the Himalayas. You don't have to become a monk. People, even successful business people have, I'm not going to mention their names, of course, on the air, but I have seen comments from very successful entrepreneurs, from successful business people that, oh, I don't have time for that. It's just for monks. I mean, a guy actually said it's just for monks. Well, he's not a monk. I'm not a monk. I'll share that with you. I am not. It's very, very straightforward. Doesn't mean that it's something that's always easy to carve out time, but a successful meditation can be as short as one breath cycle. So let's try it right now. Short, okay? Wherever you are, make yourself as comfortable as you can and just breathe in. And take your time. As you feel your breath entering your body, just pay attention to that and breathe out. And just watch the breath leaving your body. And because I'm speaking a little bit more slowly, you may have done two or three breaths already, which is good. I encourage you always to please keep breathing, by all means. And just pay attention to it. And how do you feel? A successful meditation can be just as short as one breath. So yes, you have the time and you have the space. Now you can choose to take it from there. You can choose to download an app such as Insight Timer, for example. You can choose to attend meditation classes, whether it's at a yoga studio or somewhere else. These are all things that you can do to take it to the next level. And there's plenty of information out there about the physical health benefits of meditation. But from an experiential and a practical standpoint, because to me, spirituality is all about experience. Nothing exists until you experience it. Right? A really, really fun and wonderful teacher of mine once said that nothing exists until you experience it. So experience some peace and give yourself permission to experience some calmness and some peace of mind. And you can do it by taking your next breath wherever you are. You can be at work. Okay. You can be doing the dishes. It doesn't matter where you are. If it's in the cards for you to take the next breath, then you have time for it. Okay? So let's do that. This is the number one thing that you can do to help manage your internal environment, because it's about making better choices, making better decisions, and you give yourself space to be able to do that. And again, if you're not aware that you're constantly being sped away by a runaway mind, then, you know, what do you do? Well, you come down and deliberately, purposefully start to gain control over that. So there is also a technique that I like to use, and I really, really love to do this. I've made a habit of this in the last couple of years, and it's a technique specifically for those of us that have to-do lists that are a mile long. Well, if you make to-do lists, if you have a list of certain tasks during the day, for example, you might get overwhelmed by that, because you can look at 30 different things and you think, oh my God, where in the world do I possibly start? I mean, where do I go with this? Which of these do I actually do first? And I want to recommend a book to you. It's called The One Thing. You can Google it. You may have it. You may have read it. That's the title, The One Thing. And there's a technique in there that I love and I use, and I put it to use in my own life, because I used to get absolutely blown away by massive to-do lists and confused. It led to a sense of confusion. Well, what do I do first? Which of these tasks do I accomplish? Because I sure can't do them all at once. I mean, maybe you could do all 20 tasks in a day, but maybe you don't need to. Right? Maybe that's not the definition of success. Maybe that's not the definition of accomplishment, and maybe that's not what will move your life, your goals, your own transformation forward. So there's a question in the book that I use myself at the beginning of every day, especially if there's a long list of items to accomplish. And the question goes like this, and I'll repeat it a couple of times. You take a look at the list and you ask yourself, you ask the universe, God, higher power, whatever you want, you just ask, what is the one thing I can do right now that will make everything else easier or unnecessary? I'll repeat that. What is the one thing I can do right now that will make everything else easier or unnecessary? Which of these items is the top priority, and which of these will enable me to just do that? If you just do the most important thing, perhaps some of the other tasks become less important, or you may find that you don't need to do them at all. Therefore, you don't need to spend your valuable time, your valuable mental and emotional and spiritual energy racing around like a chicken with your head cut off. You don't have to do that. Now, people make a thing out of it. For lack of a better word, it is a badge of honor for some people. And unfortunately, in our society, people do consider running around like a chicken with your head cut off a badge of honor. It means you're a good person. Well, no, it doesn't. It just means that you're stressed out. It doesn't make you a bad person. either, but it doesn't make you a good person to be stressed out. It just means that you're probably not feeling great because stress doesn't feel good. So apply this technique, and I highly recommend the book because it goes into quite a bit more detail about it and the benefits of just this one practice. It has worked wonders for me, and it has helped me develop all kinds of things, all kinds of practices, and it helped me write my book, Decide. It has just really helped me in every arena of my life. And the question again, what is the one thing I can do right now that will make everything else easier or unnecessary? If you're a to-do list person, use this. Buy the book, download it, listen to it on Audible, ebook, whatever it is. Get it, get your hands on it, and put this to work because it is a wonderful thing. Okay, so that is one of the things that you can do to help with your internal environment. And I want to talk about one more, and that is surrender to a higher power. Okay, by surrender, I don't mean allow yourself to be slaughtered, victimized, brutalized, that sort of thing. The word has different connotations in our language, but by surrender means stop trying to control everything yourself. That's one way of describing it. Another way of describing it is getting out of your own way and recognizing something really, really important, and that is you can't control everything that's going on around you. You can't control what other people think and say and do. You can't control what your boss does at work. We cannot control the stock market. We cannot control people that are operating outside of our knowledge and sphere of influence in another part of the world. There's so much that you cannot control, but what you can control is your next thought, your next action. You can control what you say and think and do, and surrendering to a higher power means nothing more than stop trying to control everything yourself. We will talk about that and some other techniques and take more listener questions on the other side of this commercial break. You're listening to Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio. We'll be right back.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, host of Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio. Thank you for listening. You know, there's only so much we can cover on a one-hour show. If you'd like to hear further from me, I happily offer personalized teachings. Get your very own voice recording or book a one-on-one consultation. Ask a burning question and gain clarity on achieving massive transformation in your life. Details available on my website, TomasGarza.com.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom,
Everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to our show. This is Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio, and I'm your host, Tomas Garza. We are talking about some techniques for de-stressing, and before the break, we talked about a couple of things that you can do to help clear your internal environment, and one of those, of course, is meditation. Well, I'm a meditation instructor, so you knew I was going to say that. Because everybody's saying that these days. But also I recommend that you get your hands on the book, The One Thing, and you can simply Google it. It's available as an ebook, as an audio book, or in print. However you want to do that, because the question, what is the one thing I can do right now that will make everything else easier or unnecessary, is one that I use all the time to help me focus, to help me place my mind on the task that I need to be doing right now in the moment that will make a lot of the clutter unnecessary. In other words, it can go away, and you can do that. That's one of the techniques. Also, before the break, we were talking about surrender, not in the sense of laying down arms physically, but emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, getting out of your own way by appealing to a higher power, whatever that is for you, whether it's prayer or meditation or a combination of both. Whatever that actual practice looks like for you, it's a way for us to get out of our own way as human beings and recognize that we simply cannot do everything ourselves. And that, yes, we need help. Now, that is frightening to the ego, of course, and we will talk on a future show quite a bit more about the ego and what it is. If you are not familiar with that term from your own practice, that's okay. We will go through that and we'll cover that in the weeks to come. It's very, very important stuff. And this is about stop trying to control everything and letting go. Because letting go and recognizing that you just don't have it all figured out and can't possibly figure it all out on your own is something that's very helpful. And it very much helps to de-stress you. Now, very important stuff right there. So we've talked about some techniques for your external environment and your internal environment, things that you can do to help manage your stress level, quite honestly, and to help get rid of some of the mental clutter and make it unnecessary in your life, because it is unnecessary. So how do you combine the internal and external? And people ask me all the time, what techniques do I use to combine them, and do I have any other advice? And the answer is, of course, yes. I'm a writer. I'm a podcast host. I definitely have advice on this, and I have suggestions. This leads us to an excellent, excellent listener question. I hope you'll pay attention to this. This one is really wonderful. This question is from Connie from Oregon, and Connie writes, I'm challenged by my mind chatter at the end of the day. When I lay down to go to sleep, that seems to be a really challenging time of the day for me. It's like the never-ending reel of anxiety, questioning myself, and sometimes negative self-talk. I sometimes feel like it's more difficult to gain control at this time of day due to being tired or trying to relax, and the mind just goes its way. And what are your thoughts on that? Okay, Connie, thank you so much for submitting this question. I hope you submit more in the future here, because this is great. And I guarantee you, I absolutely guarantee you, that there are people out there worldwide here listening that have the exact same issue. So thank you, first of all, for making that available for us to discuss here. So the challenge, this question stems pretty much directly from our show last week in a way, because mind chatter is the topic that Lisa and I talked about. And she went through a couple different types of mind chatter. Here, this question, you may relate to this, is, you know, for Connie, it's harder at night as her mind sounds like reviews the activities of the day and possibly sounds like passes judgment on that. Maybe you're that way, right? And it's just going and going and going. How do you chill it out? In a manner of speaking, how do you make that stop? How do you make that train of chatter, this runaway locomotive, stop so that you can sleep peacefully, which is very good, very healthy, right? Healthy sleep, absolutely 100% necessary. So one of the things that I want to talk about in relation to this question is the importance of having a routine. This may sound obvious, and you may have a routine. If you already have one, that's good. Stick to it like glue, 100%, as much as you possibly can and must, because building in a healthy routine to your life is something that we should insist on. We should insist on being 100% consistent and persistent with it, unless you have to go catch a flight at 4 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And that should be a rare extenuating circumstance. You should always build time in for a routine. Is it a morning routine for you, or is it an evening routine? Or is it both? Is it a midday routine? These are questions that only you can answer, and they're so, so critical. Now, I'll give you an example of what my morning routine looks like. In the morning, I often wake up relatively early, sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 4:30, and it's often, well, just quite early. Maybe you do too. And I work from home, so I don't have to get up and actually physically travel to a work environment. But I have a routine where I drink a glass of water and I make coffee for myself. And then what happens is I sit down. I am a student of A Course in Miracles, and that is a book that has absolutely done wonders for my own personal and spiritual growth over the last 6 years. So I will read a little bit from that. Maybe for you it's a Bible, maybe it's a meditation practice, devotional, whatever that is. I will read from A Course in Miracles, and I have a journal. And I will also write in my journal. If you're a journaler, this is an excellent time in the morning. That's what works best for me, is I'll do my reading, and I will also have a meditation. Quite frankly, this is a meditation practice that varies in length, but I will always make sure that I do that and journal. That I have those things, and I sit and I drink coffee, and it sometimes is an hour and a half, sometimes even a 2-hour process. It is a ritual that I have done for several years that I stick to, and it sets my mindset for the day. It puts calm, peace, and abundance in place in my mind so that I can go forward and serve people. It is so I can go forward and do business, which for me means going forward and teaching and showing up for people as my 100% best self, which is what they need, and that is my job as a teacher. So whatever your actual line of work is, it is always better and more fun if you're at your 100% best while you're doing it. Now, that's a morning routine for me. For some people, a night routine is equally as important, if not more important. So I encourage you, and wherever you are in the world, whatever your daily schedule looks like, because I realize it's different for everybody. Not everybody has the luxury, or so they think, of getting up and spending these couple of hours every morning. But maybe you can. Maybe you can create that. Maybe that can be part of what we've talked about in the show today, as you're carving out that time so that you can do this in your life. So I recommend that you, wherever you are, whatever your life looks like, think about your routines and make sure that you develop routines that serve you and that you're consistent with them. It's not enough just to do it two or three times and then go back to your old ways. That's not enough time to instill an actual habit. And we've been talking about the book, The One Thing. In that book, they cite research that says that on the average, and this is on the average, it takes 66 days to instill a new habit in your life. In other words, a lot of repetition, a lot of decisions to continue to show up for yourself, and a commitment. It takes a commitment to a practice that will help transform you. All right. So if nighttime is the hardest for you, then that is where a routine is the most important. And I would also suggest that you pay attention to a routine in the morning, and whatever you decide that's going to be, that you stick with that. That you really, really stick with it and make sure that you get that down and instill a habit in your life. Now, it may not take you 66 days. Some of you may be able to develop a habit in 2 or 3 weeks of consistent, persistent effort. But whatever it is, make sure that it's serving and that it's something that you can do and that you want to do. Because it's got to make you feel good. If you're just doing something out of obligation or to check off boxes, if there are certain things that other people have told you that you have to do in order to be successful, if there are certain things that people have kind of dictated to you or that you've absorbed from out there, wherever that is, that tell you that you have to do X, Y, Z, if it's not something that you're really 100% into, then you're just going through the motions, checking off the boxes. So whatever this routine is, make it something that you know that you're going to enjoy, that you know is going to make you feel good, and that you know is going to give you some tangible benefit really soon. Really soon, because again, it may not take that 66 days for you to instill a new habit and develop a new habit in your life. All right, so Connie, thank you so much for submitting that question. That's a great question. And I welcome all listeners to please, if you have specific questions for me about personal growth and transformation, I want to, if we're connected on Facebook, I want to invite you to please send me a private message with that information, or you can send me an email, and my email address is Tomas, that's without the H, it's the Spanish variety, T-O-M-A-S at TomasGarza.com, and that's also a good way to submit questions that I will read on the air, because I like to do at least a couple of those every week. And there's some great stuff out there, and I really appreciate your feedback on that. All right, so we've covered a lot. Let's sum it all up here. Techniques for de-stressing are all about some creating space. It's creating space in your life to make different and better decisions. It's space to avoid your habitual tendencies, which could be to lash out, to say something nasty, to gesture in a nasty way at somebody or something, to get angry. But it's creating space for you to transform, for you to become a different person. In other words, for you to become a better and the best version of yourself. So let's sum some of those techniques up, right? You can manage your external environment by blocking time for self-care, for doing the self-care, for creating some space, physical space, as in privacy, for yourself. It might be a healthy routine, such as walks or exercise. And for managing your internal environment, there is always the practice of meditation. there is the question from the one thing that we've talked about that will help you narrow down a busy, busy to-do list, which is a stressful thing if you let it get that way. It doesn't have to be. That's a technique. And letting go of your urge to control, and that involves leaning into your spirituality and letting go. Just letting go is a de-stressor. And whatever all of this looks like, finding and committing to a routine that you can work on and that you're comfortable working on, number one, but more importantly, that you're excited about working on. And think about, if it helps you, the benefits of that. What's it going to look like when you no longer get angry at your spouse so easily? Okay. But what's it going to look like when you're able to go to the gym easily without getting in your own way and without saying, I think I'll just go back to the couch today? But what's it going to look like? What are the benefits going to look like? And what's the future you going to look like? This creation of space is about opening up the opportunity for you to decide differently. Thank you so much for joining me here. You've been listening to Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio. We'll see you next week, 10 Pacific, 1 Eastern. Have a great week, everybody.